What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Weather report coming up at 12:30. Snow game Sunday and how that impacts things. And then at 1 o'clock, we'll look at this ref assignment. Are we saved or screwed this week by the refs coming in here against or for the Eagles and the Rams game? All right, 215-592-9494. Pass the game. Is it a big deal? Hugh, this segment is sponsored by
Bud Light. Join Ava Graham at Maddie's Waterfront Cafe in Philly tomorrow night at 6 p.m. for a Bud Light Eagles pep rally. Win tickets to this weekend's game and some merch. Get some merch.
Some merch?
Yeah,
always
merch.
Like some merch. I mean, we never, Hugh and I are never turned down free merch.
I like free stuff, man, especially free clothes, free merch, free hoodies, stuff like that.
By the way,
that.
you think
Dave?
You think Spadaro was kidding when he says those Let's Hunt hoodies on
You know
Sunday.
What? Dave's a really stand-up guy. I would say he wasn't kidding, but there's a chance that Dave probably got busy.
Well, should we remind him like we're doing
right now
on the air?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. He'll like that.
Yeah.
He loves that. Likes to be put on Front Street.
Make sure we get those hoodies on Sunday. All right. Our Twitter question, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about and schedule your evaluation. PIDentalCenter.com. The Eagles passing offense, big deal or not, an issue, not an issue. 55% living with their head in the sand, not an issue, Kyle. Only 45% think this issue is actually an issue.
I'm actually surprised that it's even...
Close?
Yeah, well, I'm surprised at how many people were actually willing to vote that it was an issue. I expected it to be like 85%, like, nah, not an issue, they're winning. You still get the stray comments like, well, they're 15 wins this year. Awesome, man.
As if the teams don't... I mean, like, this is... The postseason is the best of the best, right? All these teams are good now.
Elite.
That's right. So they all are good at certain things. It's about winning a championship. How do we do it? I think we need to throw the football better. Let's go to the phone lines here, and then we'll let you hear from Jason Kelce what he said this morning on the morning show. Let's go to Tony in Fox Chase. Hey, Tony.
Hey, guys. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday, Tony. What's up, pal?
I'm looking at this next game as we don't need the offense to be dynamic, especially considering weather conditions. And when you factor in the defense, our number one defense, and what we've held opposing teams to in terms of scores, 13-7, with the exception of Washington, the last four games, our defense has held teams to under 21 points.
So they have. Well, the last two of the regular season don't really move me much, Tony. But yeah, I mean you're right. Your facts are. But the Giants and Cowboys game, I'm not gonna. I mean, who cares? The Packers game this past Sunday, that was impressive to hold them to 10. That for sure.
Oh, for sure. But you know what? I think you're being a little bit dismissive. An NFL team is an NFL team.
The Giants aren't. I mean, I'm going to – they're below. They're below.
He's going to be dismissive, man. He's not moving off of this spot.
That's true. Joe's going to be Joe. But I'm optimistic. I'm not worried about this game. As far as Detroit, I think that after we win this game, and I hate to put the cart ahead of the horse, but after we win this game, Jalen has proven that he can pull that cart, that he can get it done. And our offensive line, as long as, like what Hugh said, as long as none of our guys get hurt in this next game, our offensive line and our defense, we should be fine. I'm very optimistic that we'll get the job done.
Well, I can hear that. And they look, Derek, Tony, the way they've played so far and their defense, Hugh, and you've already put – I mean, I love that Hugh's already put out there 17's the bar next week against Detroit.
Well, I think it should be. I mean, because you're the best defense hands down in this game. Well, if we get to the game. I know we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves.
Oh, we are.
But you are the best defense. So I expect nothing less than that. And to that caller's point, even though, you know, you talk about the last couple of teams you played against, I'll even go back a little bit further. You haven't given up a whole lot of points to a whole lot of people this year.
Well, that's why they've been great defensively. Yeah,
and that's one of the reasons why I feel like, hey, keep that trend going. And just channeling my inner former defensive player, that's probably would be the mantra in the locker room. Hey, man, looking at the numbers, we've been pretty dominant all year long. So let's keep it going.
Well, and if they can, then great. I mean, then this is probably less of a worry than Kyle and I think it is. But if they can at some point and the defense lets up a little, they might have to throw the football and do it effectively. Let's hear from Jason Kelce this morning on The Morning Show. First, talking about the offense this past week, Jalen Hurts, what he saw. Let's listen to Kelce on the Eagles' offense.
The rust definitely plays a factor, but I don't think we ran block particularly well either. I know the run game was better, but I thought there was more to be had across the board offensively, to be honest with you. So I don't think it's fair to just put it on Jalen. I think that there was a number of things everyone could have done better. I think from a game plan standpoint, I'm sure the coaches feel that they could have done better. So I think that there's a lot of things that could have gone better offensively.
Well, I mean, Hugh, I agree with Jason that it wasn't all on Jalen. Like, we've gone back and forth all week. I mean, whether it be players, Rhea's photos that she took of the game, the screenshots. There's been a lot out there, Hugh, of how much was it actually Jalen? How much was the play calling? I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know the percentage breakdown, but I'd agree with him. It wasn't all Jalen that they didn't move the ball much on Sunday.
No, it wasn't. But, you know, he's been the one that gets the most ire because he's the one that has the biggest, microscope on him. You know, people are looking to see what he's doing. And so that's why it's just weird and ironic how this week it's been a house divided amongst the pundits when it comes to Jalen. You know, you have the Dan Orlovsky's of the world that are saying, hey, guys weren't open. And then you have the Greg Cosell's of the world. It was like, they were open. You know, so it just all depends on what camp you're in when you believe or what you want to believe about Jalen. I think it's somewhere in the middle. I think it was a little bit of play calling. I think it was a little bit of Jalen. And that's just what it is. And I also believe that it's a little bit of the fact that there was a rust factor involved in this.
The other thing, and Jason just kind of mentioned it there. I don't know about you guys. Did you think the run game was spectacular on Sunday?
It was good enough.
It was good enough. Yeah, it was solid.
What are you comparing it against?
Well, the whole season.
Joe, you know what's funny?
Because before you go on, Saquon had 119 yards, right? So you're like, wow, that was a good game. I thought, I would say he had four or five runs that probably went for between 15 and 20.
Mm-hmm.
And the other 20 runs I thought were very like...
vanilla.
One, two, three, four yards.
And I think that's what Jason is talking about. But here's the thing, and this is the thing about the run, is that you have to look at the run in its totality. And what I mean by that is I remember playing in games where we would hold Jerome Bettis in the first half to like 30 yards. That second half, he run for like 120. It's one of those things where it wears on you. And as the game progresses, that's when it pays bigger dividends. And that's how it works when it comes to the running game. Saquon Barkley hasn't had too many games where he's rushed under 100 yards.
No, not many.
And in those games where he rushed over a hair over 100 yards, it's been tough sledding. But the bottom line is this. Anytime you run for over 100 yards in any game, no matter how you got it, that's a damn good day. And that's when as a defensive player, when the game was over against the Rams and when they played Minnesota, I went straight to the box score to see what their rushing yards were, what their rushing total was. They rushed for like a hair under 100 yards, like 91 yards. I think the running back,
Kyron Williams.
Kyron Williams had like 55 yards or something like that. You kind of look at it and you want to see where the distribution breakdown is. And his was like 55 yards. So I'm like, okay, they tried to get the run. In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, they tried to get the run with him. He didn't really get it done. Mm-hmm. And then I start looking at all the other contributors. So then I started to add it up. Okay, the total's over 100. So they really didn't, in my mind, they didn't run the ball well that day. So now you look at my bad, Kyle. And then you look at the pass game. Okay, they want to throw the ball. So that's how you kind of look at it. And with Saquon, it might not look great in the beginning, But if you got one guy that got over 100-some yards, that's a damn good day.
It is. So here's why I brought it up. Because I'm trying to think, like, how did they go? They scored the touchdown the first drive, right, the short field. And then they only scored 15 the rest of the game. And I think on Sunday, part of it was because the run game wasn't moving the ball down the field most of the game. It was just like, it was effective enough. But if you have a slow passing game or a slow moving passing game, and another team could do that to Saquon, they could have another quarter on Sunday or the next week where they don't score for a while.
Doesn't that kind of speak to the fact that the numbers don't always paint the full picture? Saquon had what? You said 119 yards in the game. But we all knew by watching and using our brains.
They kind of had him under control.
That it wasn't our best rushing performance of the season. So all the people who call in and say, whoa, you want to see Jalen Hurts throw for 300 yards? Like, we don't need a certain statistical benchmark. We know it when we see it, if it's good enough or if it can be better.
Like the Bengals game. Every year brought that up.
Right. No, I remember after that game, we were like, that's the best passing performance we've seen from Jalen.
I think
in
I said it
time.
Was 2022 Hurts.
Correct.
And he didn't have 40 passing attempts. It didn't need that. All right, let's hear one more from Kelsey. His thoughts on this game Sunday. Jason Kelsey this morning on the morning show on Eagles-Rams.
Problem that the Rams are going to have is I think if they're going to want to stop the run game, they're going to have to contribute another safety to the box. And if they do that, they're going to leave guys out on the outside, exposed in one-on-one situations. So I think they're going to be in a lot of trouble in multiple ways. And they're a very good team. I just think our offensive line is much better than the Vikings is.
So, Hugh, he kind of echoes what you've been saying. The offensive line, this matchup, that's where they're in trouble, the Rams.
Yeah, because they're not matching up well. And if I know that, I don't care if I run the ball for 15 times in the first half and only get 30 yards. I'm still running the ball. Because they're not built for this. They're not built for two things, in my opinion. They're not built for this weather that's potentially coming, and they're not built for the physicality that the run brings to the table at this time of the year. You know, and I give them – they probably played off of adrenaline and momentum going into that game against Minnesota last week with everything, all the intangibles that were on the table in that game, you know, going into that. And they played with a lot of heart and a lot of passion. It's different this weekend, man. Because you're playing against a team that's physical. You got a 230-some-pound running back there. You got 600 pounds across the board. 300, I'm being facetious when I say 300 pounds plus across the board when you talk about these offensive linemen. Why are we so worried about the passing game? That's the formula right there.
Because the next car note's coming.
This car note coming up, I got the money for that, and I paid the bill. That's all I'm worried about.
All right, I know the weather's part of it, and we'll see what happens. And this Eagles defense has been great. The way it's gone all year has been a very specific formula. This works, and it worked on Sunday, Hugh, even though the run game, like we just said, wasn't dynamic. Because the Packers couldn't score. Right? Like, you just said it. You don't care if they run it 30 times, 15 times for 30 yards the first half. Keep running it. Hugh, I agree with you. As long as the Rams don't have many points on the board, right? If the Rams jump out and get 14, then we gotta the game plan might change a little bit. This whole thing works as long as the defense keeps dominating.
Puka Nacua is a good receiver. I give him his props. Who was it? Tyler Higbee got banged up. I don't know what the
McVay said he's gonna play.
He's gonna play. Okay, he's a little banged up. Cooper Kupp isn't the guy that he used to be, right? This defensive secondary, Slay's healthy. Like, he's healthy enough. He gonna have his Hulk Hogan moment. You know, he gonna do his thing. Who's the tight end for the I can't think of his name right now. The tight end.
You think about Puka?
Yeah, I'm thinking about Puka. I'm thinking about the receivers and Higbee. I don't see them. They're gonna come into this game and they're gonna try to run the football. Because they have to. Because to come into this game with the weather being what it is, Joe, and try to throw the ball at a high volume is probably not going to work in your favor.
Probably.
You know what I mean? So you're going to try to run the football. So for you to get up 14 points on this defense, what you're going to have to do in order to do that, since we're thinking the same way, I don't think you're going to be able to do it. Because you're going to have to throw the football, and you don't want to do that. You don't want to sit back in a game where the wind might be blowing all crazy, the weather's going to be cold, and you want to sit back and throw it 60 times. Because if I'm not mistaken, they had like 70 snaps or something like that in the game they just played.
They did, yeah. They were on the field a lot.
And probably like 40 of those were like passing plays or something. I don't know what the number was, but the bottom line is this. In order to win this game, you're going to have to try to match our intensity and our physicality. Because now I'm thinking, if we're running the ball at the clip that we've been running it at, now you're talking about possessions. I don't think that matchup favors you very well.
215-592-9494. Let's go to Derek at Paley. What's up, Derek?
What's going on,
Derek, buddy? What's up?
Let me park my truck real quick.
Okay.
So I'm gonna let y'all do the this ain't good enough and all that. This is all I'm gonna say about Hurts, right? The Eagles paid him what they paid him, right? Because he showed them that he could, you know, make these throws, do this, do that. I just feel like the way that last year ended, right? And then the way this year started out, Hurts is smart. He hear what everybody be saying with the turnovers and this and that. Like, I just think he is overly cautious, right? He's overly cautious. So why do people say, like, he can't do this, he can't do that? He's already shown that he can do that. I just feel like he just became overly cautious. Remember when Brian Baldinger was on the show with Ike and Spike, right?
Oh, yeah, right after the Green Bay game.
Yeah, him and Ike was going at it because Baldy was like, bro, like, that wasn't a bad throw. If AJ don't fall down, this is what happens. Mm-hmm. Da, 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 da. Like, so that's where I'm at with it. Like, I know he can make these throws. I know he's better than what he's showing and this, that, and the third. But he kind of got to get out of his own head because if people are open and this and that. But if him being in his own head that's a bigger issue. So the Eagles will have to figure out next year if Jalen is fixable. Because remember when him and Sirianni was having beef when the season was ready to start up and all that?
Yep.
Like it could have been beef because they're trying to convince him that we don't need you to do this, that, and the third, and he might have been in his feelings about that. And then now he's convinced that what they were telling him is right and stuff like that. I just think it's a lot of factors that goes into.
I think you're right,
what
Derek.
We're seeing from
Derek,
Hurts right now.
I think it's a good point.
Just not having the ability to do it. You understand what I'm saying?
So I totally agree. I don't think this is an inability thing. I think it's just it's not happening. Like it's just and Derek, that's yeah. a it's a
Remember
good.
Remember the Seattle game? Seattle, man, you was going back and forth.
Oh, of course, the interception saying, at the end. Yeah,
that was me and AJ because he had that faith in AJ. I'm gonna throw it up, right? But AJ ain't going to get no criticism if the ball get picked off. You know what I'm saying? So Jalen Hurts right now, I feel like he's just playing not to lose. He wants to win, but he don't want to get all this smoke that could come his way if he starts putting the ball in harm's way. And like when AJ slipped in the end zone and all that.
Yeah. There's a line. That, I mean, Derek,
nobody talks about
yeah,
that. You know what
there's
I mean?
A line.
It's hard being a quarterback, man, especially when that money like that. You know what I'm saying?
Of course. So, I think there's a fine line.
The passing game do got to be better. So anybody that calls in and says, like, you know, it don't have to, I feel like eventually he going to have to show something.
Exactly.
But they won a lot of games playing this way.
Well, they won 15, Derek. I mean, they've been incredible doing it. Derek, we appreciate the call. Hugh, I do wonder if that – if they've crossed the line too much, right? Like the first 4 weeks of the season, Jalen was reckless, right? We could call it that. He almost threw four picks against the Packers. He had the pick in the end zone against the Saints. And then something changed, right? At the bye, him and Sirianni spoke.
That's super conservative.
Super conservative. And then you hear AJ, we played the cut at the beginning of our show, saying, I was open on Sunday. You hear James Jones talking about how the other guys throw these guys open. Hugh, I wonder if Jalen has gone too far to the other side of, I'm not going to put the ball in harm's way. And that's working. But like, on Sunday or next Sunday, if he's got a guy that's slightly covered, is he going to let it rip, or are we just going to say, we'll get him next drive? I do wonder that.
You know what? I hear what you're asking, Joe, but I'm going to answer it the best way that I possibly can because I think this is a fluid situation when you talk about what you're talking about. I think Jalen's going to do what the situation presents, to be honest, because to your point, and I know Kyle is stuck on the – you know, I did what I had to do to win the game thing and, you know, going 9 minutes without scoring, that's not what normal people do. But I feel like most of that was because of maybe just the timing. And I put a lot on that because
the concussion last week?
Yeah, because to me, this kind of played out like I thought it would. It really, really did.
Nostradamus Douglas.
No, and
here.
It did, because we talked about it, because when you asked me the week before they played Green Bay, you said, right, do you expect? No, not a lot. I don't expect a whole lot. And he did exactly that, but he did do what I expected him to do. He won the game. And I feel like the matchup, either matchup, if it was them, L.A. or Minnesota, favored what we could do in this game to help us win. I always felt that way. So it hasn't changed for me.
So to go back to the comp I made earlier with the Phillies last year, remember last year in the beginning of the season, the Phillies were trying not to chase as much? Remember?
Yeah.
And Castellanos in particular felt he was caught in between. Like he was like losing his aggressiveness because he was trying so hard not to swing at bad pitches. And he was like, that balance was difficult for him. I do wonder if with Jalen, because you mentioned it, last year he would throw to AJ in triple coverage, right? He would give his guys a shot.
Yeah.
And now we've gone so far the other way. I mean, it's very rare he even throws a ball that is almost intercepted, right?
And think about it like this. There was a stretch at the beginning of the season. AJ three picks, wasn't in Brazil. Brazil.
Yeah, well, he had two, but it was almost four. Yeah,
it was like two in Brazil. Then he had, a couple the next week, and then it was a week after that. Then it became a story, and then all of a sudden it just went away. I mean, yeah. I mean, and you're still winning. So if I'm AJ and the formula is working, why change it?
Just go read a book on the sideline.
Just do that, and it's for the benefit of everybody. And to get to AJ, the fact that he's not doing what he's used to doing, man, listen, at the end of the day, you win the Super Bowl, you hoist that Lombardi trophy, all that animosity.
I knew what you meant.
But somebody might not have meant all that Anna.
I think someone named
had,
Anna.
Yeah. That you had during the course of the season, all that's going to wash away when that green and black or green and white confetti drop in your hair and you're a champion.
Bye-bye, Anna.
Let that Anna go, man, and win these games. Sometimes the sacrifice is greater than what you want to give, but you gotta sacrifice.
215-592-9494. All right, coming up, we'll get to some interesting numbers. We've talked about the snow a little bit today. All right, we'll give you the updated forecast. And Matthew Stafford, how does he play in bad weather? He's played a lot of dome games in his career in Detroit, now Los Angeles, played college at Georgia. How does Stafford play in the snow? We'll talk about that, plus your phone calls. And apparently, we have to settle beef with a coworker here at WIP. Someone took exception to one of Hugh's tweets yesterday. All right, we'll get to that next. It's the Midday Show right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is putting me back in the holiday spirit, Hugh Douglas.
Dean? That's Dean, ain't it?
Yes. Are you ready for a little snow on Sunday?
This Sunday? No, not really.
Well, you better be. You don't have a coat yet?
No, I don't have a coat. I'm a thug it out, though. I've been thugging it out all this long. I'll be all right.
Snow boots?
I got some boots.
Okay, you got snow boots.
Well, yeah, I got some boots.
Hopefully, or maybe not hopefully, the Rams are more prepared for it. It sounds like it's going to snow on Sunday. The Eagles will be ready. Will the Rams be? So, Hugh, the latest forecast is calling for some snow, but the best part is right at game time, the last time I looked, like between that 3 and 6:30 window,
yeah,
that's when we could have some snow on Sunday. So we said, all right, we got some snow on Sunday. We got home field advantage. You've said that could hurt the Rams, especially when you factor in they've got a small, more of like a speedy pass rush, right? They're footing.
Yeah.
They want to throw the ball more than run the ball. So that seems like advantage Eagles. But then we went a little further here. You ready for these numbers?
What you got?
Matthew Stafford, as we know, went to Georgia for college. He grew up in Texas. Then he played in a dome in Detroit for most of his career. And the last, 3 years, 4 years, he's been in Los Angeles playing on the West Coast in a dome. So we had to see, how does Matthew Stafford do when he has to go outside, especially in the rain and snow? Are you ready for these numbers? This is the best thing you're going to hear all day. Matthew Stafford in the rain and snow in his career is 1-8. With a 54% completion percentage, 14 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, 76 passer rating. Hugh Stafford melts in the snow.
Yeah, and you're just wondering, that's why, if they're trying to come out here and throw the football, I don't think that's going to go well. And if they're going to try to run the football. They're definitely going to try to run the football. Not hearing that, because that's their only recourse, to try to keep this game as close as possible. Because they know that their quarterback is not that great in inclement weather.
So I also have some numbers on Stafford under 40 degrees, but that feels too close to the Bucks thing in 02. I don't even want to put that out there.
I'm traumatized by that one.
Your fault on that one. I don't want to put that out there. Let's just keep the snow stats out there, because he's bad in the snow. 1-8, 54% completion. Kyle, the more snow we get, the better off we are. They can't throw it. Stafford's cold. We know Hugh told us earlier the Rams are afraid of the dark, so once the wet sun goes down.
Yeah,
it's all good.
So it was the Rams Niners game that was on that Thursday night in the bad weather.
Yeah.
I just remembered that game being like, man, both of these teams
couldn't move the ball.
Like they have no idea what they're doing with a little bit of rain.
Ugly.
So I don't. I'm trying to remember. Does Jalen Hurts play particularly well in bad weather like that though?
So I don't think it's his I feel like he talked about it. Remember a couple years ago, the game he got hurt in Chicago, it was like bitter cold, like 5 degrees, and he didn't love it.
Well, so there was that Jacksonville game.
Rain. It was a rain game in 22.
Yeah, that wasn't a good game for him.
No, he had pick six early, but they won. He wins, Kyle.
You're keeping the main thing the main thing?
He won the cold
in the
game
weather
in Chicago.
Games, okay.
He won the rain game against the...
Okay.
Now, I don't know. I mean... He's from Texas, too. A lot of these quarterbacks are Texas. I mean, they're not used to growing up in this kind of cold or snow, but Stafford's been worse than it.
I think the biggest thing for me is just the fact that they are a West Coast team, and they've been on the West Coast for, I guess, the better part of a month now.
So they did play a cold game, the Rams, in late December against the Jets, and they won, but Stafford had a really kind of
another lackluster game.
Yeah, 100 yards passing, and they didn't do much. So
no, it makes me feel good.
Uh-huh. It's a good thing, and the more snow, I think, the better for the Eagles on Sunday. Let's go to the phone lines here, 215-592-9494. And then later in this segment, we got to settle some beef with a coworker here, taking exception to Hugh Douglas's tweets. I mean, it's not like Hugh's out here, tweeting from the bathtub.
No,
like other
Hugh never tweets anything like controversial
never.
Or anything.
No, that's not Hugh.
There's never been an issue with you on Twitter.
No, not one time.
Yeah, that's a lie. I got in trouble last week.
Let's go to Demon, who's up next. What's up, Demon?
Yo, glad to know, fellas.
Demon, what's up, buddy?
Hey, man, happy to get through. I'm on here waiting patiently for y'all brothers, man. I see y'all busy today.
We got you. We made sure we had time for you. What are you thinking?
Now, listen, brothers, I got to find my notes, man, because I had a head go.
I love when the callers have notes.
I got my notes. So, all right. So listen, the first thing I want to talk about, right, was who has the defense as far as y'all keep talking about the Rams, right? I mean, not the Rams, the Detroit Lions.
Oh, we have the better defense.
We got the better defense.
Yeah. No. Hold on. Let me finish. Who has they played this year, the Rams, with a top defense like ours?
I was trying to tell my coworkers that they weren't.
Minnesota's probably the best defense off top of my head they saw.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so y'all know about them. They trash. But now moving forward, right?
Well, they played us. I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the best defense they face this year.
Hey, who did the Rams pick up in the last couple of weeks? Did they get somebody I don't know about? Somebody I ain't hear about? Is somebody back there or something? Is my boy Donald back? What's going on?
No, but they haven't allowed 10 points in a game they've tried in like a month. I mean, they're obviously playing better on defense.
No, them dudes the same dudes. Listen.
No, no, but they're playing better, though. They're playing better.
Yes, because they're playing lesser competition. You're supposed to play better.
They just played Minnesota, who was averaging like 30 points a game, and they crushed them.
Well, in fairness, when they went up against the Bills, they got like 40-something dropped
on them. That was their line. Since then, they've been good, but that's true.
But Minnesota's in that division. They play them all the time. They know them guys. They know them. And then also, I want to talk about my boy Jalen, man. Listen, everybody's on him, but this is facts here. He probably has the best quarterback winning percentage when becoming a starter in his first 4 years. And along with that, his coach has the best coaching as a coach. So everybody's talking about Nick Sirianni, this, I get it. When we hired him, we all believe he's going to be a puppet because Howie and them chosen and we know how they do things. I agree with that. But you cannot deny the record, man. The records is the records, man. Jalen winning, I get it don't look pretty at all times, but the boy do nothing but win, and he always improves when he looked bad the game before. What are we scared about, fellas? Help me out. Help me out, yo.
Well, I mean, I'm not scared. I just, I got some nerves, Demon. It's a big game. Am I allowed to have nerves?
Yes.
Yeah, you're allowed to have
okay,
nerves.
Okay, all right.
But you got to, we just played them, and nobody, Donald didn't come back.
I know, but teams change. I think we're discounting it. The Rams have gotten better since we played them. Like, it's not going to be.
They're definitely playing better.
It might be the same result, but it might not look exactly the same.
Now, you're absolutely right. Now, they have gotten better, but we got them big boys, man. They still mad, man. And listen, I think this, and also, I told y'all a couple weeks ago, I still believe it, the Lions are fool's gold. I believe that Washington going to beat them, and I'm going to leave it at that, man.
Well, I hope you're right.
You're not the first one to think
I
that
know,
way, brother.
Demon, good
just
phone call.
To tell you.
I mean, are you going to pick that tomorrow?
Washington? Yeah. I'm going to go with the Commodores.
You didn't even have to think of
it. I know.
I'm going with the Commodores.
I was giving you 24 hours to stew on that
one. I'm going to go with the Commodores.
He's kind of been on the Lions or,
Well, they're a good team.
Yeah.
They're creative offensively. But, man, I'm looking at the intangibles. Jane Daniels, that's an intangible.
I actually could see that being a fun game.
Oh, yeah. I could too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, Hugh, if the Commanders pull that upset and we get a home title game, get on the bus. We're going to New Orleans.
Yeah, Dan, yeah.
I mean, we are headed to New Orleans in 2 weeks if the Commanders win that game. I think the Commanders story is certainly fun. I thought before the season they could make a big turnaround. I didn't think they'd be this good. They're not coming in here and winning an NFC championship game.
I can't see it.
Nope. So if you're right on this, then we are going to the Super Bowl, Hugh Douglas. That's the bottom line.
I'm excited about it. I ain't excited about getting on that damn bus.
Well, so here's the question. There it is. Do we get the hand grenades the first day we get there, or is that like midweek? Oh, okay.
We turn up. As soon as we get to Louisiana, we turn up. We go. I'll keep that part. We're going to turn up.
Okay.
There we go.
Right away. If we get there in the morning.
We'll probably be already turnt.
I'm looking at
on the bus. We'll probably be already turnt on the bus.
Yeah, that's probably going to happen. All right, let's go to who we got here. We got Lamar. What's up, Lamar?
What's up, Joe? How you guys making out?
What's going on,
Lamar?
Man.
What's up, buddy?
Oh, man, you guys, I mean, we can't stop beating this yelling horse, man, nonstop. I was thinking of something when you made a baseball reference, Joe. Mm-hmm. You got this guy, I'm not going to mention the producer in the afternoon that talks nothing but crazy yelling talk. Nothing but crazy Hurts talk. I haven't heard a yelling standing ovation yet. But we gave a guy that's not as accomplished as yelling, haven't done anything here other than come here, sign a $300 million contract, and stuck it up. We gave him a standing ovation.
Yeah, well, that was a mistake. We all realize now.
Jalen have got us to, well, okay, give me one mistaken day free of not bashing the quarterback, or give him a standing ovation.
So two things. Two things. Lamar, Jalen's a better player than that guy you're talking about, and he I appreciate him more than that guy. Okay, at least he's good.
Well, you won't even say his name.
Well, yeah. Trey Turner.
Well, again,
But Lamar, hold on. But he's the quarterback of the Eagles. How do we like? He's part of every conversation. Like,
I understand.
What do you want us to like? Have a Jalen free week? He's every
Jalen free week. I understand it, but you know what? Hugh ain't got a ring. That's not a shot at you, Hugh. But if you had a ring, he wouldn't care less how it came. Running, skipping, passing, jumping—it does not matter. Jalen Hurts have proved in Philadelphia that he's able to handle.
Yeah, I wouldn't care. He ain't lying about that, though.
Jalen has proven he could be in a toxic environment and not fold like Wentz and all these other people.
Well, okay, all right, but Lamar, okay, so he doesn't fold. But Lamar, can we be fair and real? And I don't want to rip this guy. He's the best player that ever played the position in Philadelphia. If Donovan was better in the biggest moments, the guy sitting next to me would ever ring Lamar. He would.
It's a whole lot of factors that go into
Hold on. Against Carolina, he was awful. Against the Rams, Hugh always brings up his algorithm. For some reason, last night, my algorithm gave me highlights of the 2001 NFC Championship game. So I watched it over last night. Hugh and the defense gave the ball back to Donovan with 2:40 to go, down five. He threw a pick.
Okay, like, can I give you one now, Joe?
Yeah.
Now, can I give you one?
Yeah.
Now, hey, Hugh, if you'd have had Terrell Owens all five of them NFC championships, how many Super Bowls you would have won?
At least one.
Okay, so we can all do that, Joe. We can all.
I know, but I get it. My point is the quarterback matters a lot. That's why we talk about him a lot. The game's going to be on his shoulders at some point. That's why he's the conversation.
And I understand that, Joe. But you know, I'll give you this before you cut me off. It's like, again, I just gave Kyle an analogy.
People off, Joe?
No, that's you. It's like this.
It's like saying at the end of the day, listen, eventually it's going to burn you. Well, okay, you get married to a woman at 25 years old. Eventually she might be 240 pounds, but I'm going to enjoy it right now while she's 130.
That ain't right. What that means?
She's beautiful inside, Lamar.
She's beautiful, yeah.
Hey, I'm going to enjoy you at 240. I'm going to enjoy you at 130. Enjoy the time you got now while we're winning. That's it.
I mean, I don't know if that analogy flies.
Way to recover.
I mean, yeah,
way to recover, Lamar.
I don't know about that one, Lamar.
Way to recover.
Yeah, Lamar, I mean, how do you want to respond to that? Like, let's just...
Way to recover.
Yeah, Lamar lost me at that one. That one's not working.
That was crazy.
That was. All right, speaking of not working, apparently your tweet didn't fly last night with a certain someone here. All right, so Hugh, you said you were listening to the station last night.
Yeah, I was listening to Ashlyn. Shout out to Ashlyn, man. I think she does solo shows now, right?
Recently she started doing some solo shows.
Yeah, so shout out, because I was listening. You know, I had a chance to listen last night, so I was listening. And I was listening to some of the callers that called in.
And you said they're different.
I just said they're different. I just said the callers at night are different.
Well, as someone who did that shift for 5 years, I can attest the callers at night are certainly different. But I guess John Johnson took exception to the tweet. Can we hear this? Is this Kyle John Johnson last night on the overnight show taking exception to Hugh's tweet here?
Hey, Pat.
Hey, John.
How you doing, man? So who is your grievance with and why?
Hugh Douglas. I have a grievance with him.
Okay. What is your grievance with Hugh?
You tweeted just a few hours ago, and I quote, the callers that call the station at night are, quote unquote, different.
Okay.
I don't like his tone, because I feel like the night crawlers, you know, shout out to Tom. You know, we have some cohesive moments. We have some crazy moments at night, but you know, we're a pretty good group of callers, and I think his tone there implies that the day callers are better than the night callers.
Huh. So, Pat, call me tomorrow, Pat. I am familiar with the tweet of Hugh Douglas, where he tweeted out that the callers at night are different, the callers at WIP at night are different. See, I've known Hugh a long time, and Hugh for... the early part of his broadcasting career was a part of the WIP morning show. So he would, you know, get up, leave for work around 3:30, 4 a.m., and he would hear some of the callers to this radio station at this time of the morning. And when he came back here, he immediately went to the midday show. Even though they experienced some really oddball callers during that time slot, they don't have the hard, heavy hitters like we do in this time slot. I find the most rational, level-headed callers in all of WIP come during this time period, because most are up for a very specific reason. Most work these hours or just getting up to work these hours, so they're in a routine. They're not moseying around the house, nothing to do, hey, I'll call you up, where you're not of the same mindset. You see things, you don't see things the same way. And I think Hugh, as a result,
has gotten lost in all that. He sees the illogicals as logical, when in fact the more logical are at this time. That was quite a spin.
Yeah, that was a hell of a spin. I mean, and John's right, because I used to work that shift, and it's different. But it just felt like last night, I guess it was just last night, but sometimes the callers are just, they're a little more fiery. They're a little more irrational, I will say that. They're a little bit more pointed in their criticisms and some of the things. I didn't mean that in a bad way, because listen, you have the right to think any way that you want to think. Just like I have the right to interpret your thought the way that I interpret it. And being different does not necessarily mean bad. It's just different. We're all different. But y'all call the cast that call that night are different.
So here's my perspective as someone who's I've literally done every shift you could do, whether it be fill in or like full time on the station, Hugh, including John's. I used to fill in and do the show John does now, but I did the night show, right? The one you were listening to last night, one Ashlyn was hosting last night. I did that for a long time. You know why I think sometimes the different comes out? Because when you're at night, especially solo, you kind of let the caller go for a little longer.
Yeah, you let and you hear and you.
So when someone goes for longer, they really unload everything. They give you every thought they have, and sometimes you get some different takes.
And then you wonder, how did you get there? Like seriously, because I listened, and somebody told me last night you need to do you're off work. Find a hobby. No, it was just that I was riding home and I was just listening, and I like to get different perspectives of how different people think. And sometimes you listen and you just kind of wonder, how did you get to where you got to? You know, because we all watch the same thing and we interpret it differently. But I'm curious to see, how did you get to where you got to about some of the takes that you have? And that's where the interesting part comes in. Because a lot of times that people, when they call at night, they think through some of the stuff that they're saying. But let's be honest, sometimes people, it's coming from a different place. And you hear that. Even though they try to disguise it and say it in different ways, you know where it's coming from. And so I just find it curious. They're interesting.
I just wonder if now a brewing rivalry between John Johnson and Hugh Douglas has begun.
No, because you know what? John is my movie guy. Matter of fact, John been acting kind of funny lately because he ain't, he ain't gave me none of the new movies that were coming out, because that was the big thing. And he been stingy with the Blue Chews. So, yeah.
Well, if you need Blue Chew, just ask the afternoon show.
Yeah, that you talk about a weird commercial.
It's a lot.
You know what that says to me?
If I'm allowed to be
free and just speak my mind. When I hear, every time I hear that commercial, it's almost like, I ain't the only one that having issues with my thing not doing what it's supposed to do. All three of us kind of have it, you know. And they try to spin it in a way where, you know, they're doing it not for themselves, but for their loved ones.
There is something strange about the three of them having a Blue Chew popping party.
It ain't just me. It ain't me by myself that need the Blue Chew. Ike need one too. Spike needs a Blue Chew. And then, you know, Fritz, and what's the tagline? Boy, I tell you, or something like that. Like, it's just really, it's really, really weird.
Team reads for those.
I never heard
that before, but I'm.
And I told Jordan, since we're bringing some of the stuff that we talk about off the air to the show. And I told Joe, I was like, I'll rock with some Blue Chews, because every now and then, I want to swing from the chandelier. I want to be King Kong. I want to be in there, and I want somebody to tap out. I want somebody to, like I'm saying, I ain't got no problem
with
that.
Was it fair to question? I mean, Fritz just had number two.
Second child.
So now he need a Blue Chew.
Well.
This, which is kind of,
I think I was saying, he probably,
on the surface,
as Jack Fritz walks past,
yeah,
and
I think,
sees
think he was saying that might not be the issue, maybe.
Oh, yeah, but they're trying their damnedest to let it be known that they don't have an issue. I ain't got no problem with that. Every now and then, like I said, you want to be Godzilla.
How about that D, baby?
You want to bring that thigh out. Bring that heat.
It's amazing how far we will go on this radio station for our different agendas. We won't acknowledge the passing game, which threw for 100 yards on Sunday is an issue, but we are just free to say, you know what? Screw it. Give me a Blue Chew. Let's talk to.
Let's do this.
Let's talk to Marlon, who's up next. What's up, Marlon?
Hey, Joe and you. What's up, y'all?
Marlon, what's going on?
Hey, listen, Hugh with this car note. Listen, hey, Hugh, But you're two behind, so you're not caught up yet.
Excuse me, Marlon, how am I two behind? Explain this to me. This is intriguing because, to me. How am I two Cardinals behind?
Because when the guy paid the Cardinal last week, right? But he ain't come current yet. So he was already behind three, so he just gave us one.
Okay, Marlon, how is your math getting to this point? Help me out. How am I three Cardinals behind? Already. How am I three Cardinals behind?
If you're going to sit here and tell me that game last week with the way Jalen looked and y'all got nerve to talk about the bus loader, that joint already repoed.
Okay, Marlon. Marlon, calm down. Tell me exactly what it is I said about Jalen's play that prompted you to call and say that I was three Cardinals behind. Go.
The problem with you saying that is because you saying, okay, we okay, because the defense going to hang in there. The defense ain't going to be able to hang in there playing. All Jordan Love had to do was take off. That's all he had to do. He would have did that 2-3 times. Y'all be sitting here looking at the heavens
You know what, Marlon? Let me just say this, Marlon. Because the fact that I found out you're a Cowboy fan leads me, I'm going to give you.
No,
wait a minute. Marlon, I'll let you speak. Allow me to have the floor. Marlon, allow me to have the floor because you have not heard. Okay. I've been on this show we've been doing this show for 3 hours. You ain't heard nothing that I said because you have not quoted anything that came out of my mouth. I never once said Jalen played great. I mean, we have two young ladies sitting. Excuse me, Marlon, the floor is mine. I got two young ladies sitting in here right now that will attest to the fact that never came out of my mouth as they shake their head. No, it ain't never came out of his mouth. What I said was this when I made the analogy to the Cardinal. I said what Jalen did last week was good enough for us to win. Is that a fact? Because we did win. We did win, right? So
he
that's a fact,
nothing,
right?
But go ahead.
He didn't win. Marlon, he didn't win last week.
Okay,
my bad, Marlon, because we're playing some matches now. Did the Eagles win last week?
Yeah, the Eagles won last
Okay,
week.
So Jalen was on the field, and he did enough to contribute to the Eagles' win, correct? It ain't that hard, Marlon. It's a yes or no question.
I just said he ain't do nothing.
No, it don't. And so I framed it in a way where you got to answer yes or no. Did Jalen Hurts contribute to the Eagles' win last week, yes or no?
Okay, yes, he did.
Okay, so that's why I said the card note has been paid. Therefore, that's where the analogy came from. The card note is paid.
So now all we got to do
next week is figure out a way to get that other payment. That's it, right?
Yeah, get that other payment, right.
And let me just say, so you're not a Cowboys fan, right?
No, I'm 31 teams further.
You're 31 teams. For what does that even mean?
Oh no, he's a Cowboys fan. Don't hide now.
That means anybody that played it, like right now, McVay coming in here.
Oh, because they're eliminated.
Enough,
yeah,
Marlon. I mean,
Marlon.
You talking logic with a Cowboys fan? You're gonna win that debate.
That's
every
what
time.
I'm saying, Marlon. Instead of being in Eagles business right now, which we do appreciate the phone call, but I'm just saying right now because we got business to tend to. Instead of being in Eagles business. Go figure out who your head coach going to be. Worry about Cowboys business. Because right now, y'all are in disarray. I appreciate you calling, Martin. I love that you listen to the show. But I ain't got time to entertain conversations like this when you shouldn't have time to entertain conversations like this because you need to go find a head coach.
I've eaten a lot of raccoons.
You know what I'm saying? So let us figure out these card notes. Well, y'all go figure out. Y'all need to go to the lot and figure out who's gonna drive the car y'all got.
Oh, the repo man.
Yeah, y'all
got
need.
The
you know what I mean? Yeah, y'all need to go figure that out. So I appreciate the call, but still, let the Eagles handle Eagles business.
215-592-9494. For your phone calls coming up on the passing game. Is it a big deal? I think it is. Hugh doesn't. We got Cowboys fans chiming in, which you know this is a wild conversation here. Plus, on the other side, the referee assignment for Sunday. Sean Smith. What does it mean? Are we saved or are we screwed? I got some data on this guy and his crew. We'll hit that next. Your phone calls. Midday Show, 94 WIP.
The action is heating up this playoff season at ESPN Bet Sportsbook. You can bet overs and unders and point spread or player props like passing or rushing yards. New ESPN Bet Sportsbook customers can get a $10 bet to get $100 in bonus bets and unlock 30 days of ESPN Plus. Download the app and sign up with promo code Radio100 to get started today. Odds and lines subject to change. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is putting me back in the holiday spirit, Hugh Douglas.
Dean? That's Dean, ain't it?
Yes. Are you ready for a little snow on Sunday?
This Sunday? No, not really.
Well, you better be. You don't have a coat yet?
No, I don't have a coat. I'm a thug it out, though. I've been thugging it out all this long. I'll be all right.
Snow boots?
I got some boots.
Okay, you got snow boots.
Well, yeah, I got some boots.
Hopefully, or maybe not hopefully, the Rams are more prepared for it. It sounds like it's going to snow on Sunday. The Eagles will be ready. Will the Rams be? So, Hugh, the latest forecast is calling for some snow, but the best part is right at game time, the last time I looked, like between that 3 and 6:30 window,
yeah,
that's when we could have some snow on Sunday. So we said, all right, we got some snow on Sunday. We got home field advantage. Hugh, you've said that could hurt the Rams, especially when you factor in they've got a small, more of like a speedy pass rush, right? They're footing.
Yeah.
They want to throw the ball more than run the ball. So that seems like advantage Eagles. But then we went a little further here. You ready for these numbers?
What you got?
Matthew Stafford, as we know, went to Georgia for college. He grew up in Texas. Then he played in a dome in Detroit for most of his career. And the last, 3 years, 4 years, he's been in Los Angeles playing on the West Coast in a dome. So we had to see, how does Matthew Stafford do when he has to go outside, especially in the rain and snow? Are you ready for these numbers? This is the best thing you're going to hear all day. Matthew Stafford, in the rain and snow in his career, is 1-8. With a 54% completion percentage, 14 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, 76 passer rating, Hugh Stafford melts in the snow.
Yeah, and you just wonder, that's why, if they're trying to come out here and throw the football, I don't think that's going to go well. And if they're going to try to run the football. They're definitely going to try to run the football. Not hearing that, because that's their only recourse, to try to keep this game as close as possible. Because they know that their quarterback is not that great in inclement weather.
So I also have some numbers on Stafford under 40 degrees, but that feels too close to the Bucks thing in 02. I don't even want to put that out there.
I'm traumatized by that one.
Your fault on that one. I don't want to put that out there. Let's just keep the snow stats out there, because he's bad in the snow. 1-8, 54% completion. Kyle, the more snow we get, the better off we are. They can't throw it. Stafford's cold. We know Hugh told us earlier the Rams are afraid of the dark, so once the sun goes down.
Yeah,
it's all good.
So it was the Rams Niners game that was on that Thursday night in the bad weather.
Yeah.
I just remembered that game being like, man, both of these teams
looked
like they have no idea what they're doing with a little bit of rain.
Ugly.
So I'm trying to remember. Does Jalen Hurts play particularly well in bad weather like that, though?
So I don't think it's his I feel like he talked about it. Remember a couple years ago, the game he got hurt in Chicago, it was like bitter cold, like 5 degrees, and he didn't love it.
Well, so there was that Jacksonville game.
Rain. It was a rain game in 22.
Yeah, that wasn't a good game for him.
No, he had pick six early, but they won. He wins, Kyle.
You're keeping the main thing the main thing?
He won the cold
in the
game
weather
in Chicago.
Games? Okay.
He won the rain game against the...
Okay.
Now, I don't know. I mean... He's from Texas, too. A lot of these quarterbacks are Texas. I mean, they're not used to growing up in this kind of cold or snow, but Stafford's been worse than it.
I think the biggest thing for me is just the fact that they are a West Coast team, and they've been on the West Coast for, I guess, the better part of a month now.
So they did play a cold game, the Rams, in late December against the Jets, and they won, but Stafford had a really kind of
another lackluster game.
Yeah, 100 yards passing, and they didn't do much. So
no, it makes me feel good.
Uh-huh. It's a good thing, and the more snow, I think, the better for the Eagles outside. Let's go to the phone lines here, 215-592-9494. And then later in this segment, we got to settle some beef with a coworker here, taking exception to Hugh Douglas's tweets. I mean, it's not like Hugh's out here, tweeting from the bathtub.
No,
like
Hugh never tweets anything like controversial
never.
Or anything.
No, that's not Hugh Douglas.
There's never been an issue with you on Twitter.
No, not one time.
Yeah, that's a lie. I got in trouble last week.
Let's go to Demon, who's up next. What's up, Demon?
Yo, glad to know, fellas.
Demon, what's up, buddy?
Hey, man, I'm happy to get through. I'm on here waiting patiently for y'all brothers, man. I see y'all busy today.
We got you. We made sure we had time for you. What are you thinking?
Now, listen, brothers, I got to find my notes, man, because I had a head go.
I love when the callers have notes.
I got my notes. So, all right. So listen, the first thing I want to talk about, right, was who has the defense as far as y'all keep talking about the Rams, right? I mean, not the Rams, the Detroit Lions.
Oh, we have the better defense.
We have the better defense.
Yeah. No. Hold on. Let me finish. Who has they played this year, the Rams, with a top defense like ours?
I was trying to tell my coworkers that they weren't.
Minnesota's probably the best defense off top of my head they saw.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so y'all know about them. They trash. But now moving forward, right?
Well, they played us. I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the best defense they face this year.
hey, who did the Rams pick up in the last couple of weeks? Did they get somebody I don't know about? Somebody I ain't hear about? Is somebody back there or something? Is my boy Donald back? What's going on?
No, but they haven't allowed 10 points in a game they've tried in like a month. I mean, they're obviously playing better on defense.
No, them dudes the same dudes. Listen.
No, but they're playing better, though. They're playing better.
Yes, because they're playing lesser competition. You're supposed to play better.
They just played Minnesota, who was averaging like 30 points a game, and they crushed them.
Well, in fairness, when they went up against the Bills, they got like 40-something dropped
on them. That was their line. Since then, they've been good, but that's true.
But Minnesota's in that division. They play them all the time. They know them guys. They know them. And then also, I want to talk about my boy Jalen, man. Listen, everybody's on him, but this is facts here. He probably has the best quarterback winning percentage when becoming a starter in his first 4 years. And along with that, his coach has the best coaching as a coach. So everybody's talking about Nick Sirianni, this, I get it. When we hired him, we all believe he's going to be a puppet because Howie and them chosen when we know how they do things. I agree with that. But you cannot deny the record, man. The records is the records, man. Jalen winning, I get it don't look pretty at all times, but the boy do nothing but win, and he always improves when he looked bad the game before. What are we scared about, fellas? Help me out, yo.
Well, I mean, I'm not scared. I just, I got some nerves, Demon. It's a big game. Am I allowed to have nerves?
Yes.
Yeah, you're allowed to have nerves.
Okay, all right.
But you got to. We just played them, and nobody Donald didn't come back.
I know, but teams change. I think we're discounting it. The Rams have gotten better since we played them. Like it's not.
No,
gonna
playing,
be.
They're definitely playing no, better.
It might be the same result. It might, but it might not look exactly the same.
Now you're absolutely right. Now they have gotten better, but we got them big boys, man. They still mad, man. Listen, I think this, and also I told y'all a couple weeks ago. I still believe it. The Lions are fool's gold. I believe that Washington going to beat them, and I'm going to leave it at that, man.
Well, I hope
you're
right.
You're not the first one to think that way, brother.
Demon, good phone call.
Tell you.
I mean, are you going to pick that tomorrow?
Washington? Yeah. I'm going to go with the Commodores.
You didn't even have to think of
it. I know.
Oh, no, I'm going with the Commodores.
I was giving you 24 hours to stew on that
one. No, I'm going to go with the Commodores.
He's kind of been on the Lions or,
Well, they're a good team. Yeah. They're creative offensively. But, man, I'm looking at the intangibles. Jane Daniels. That's an intangible.
I actually could see that being a fun game.
Oh, yeah. I could too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, Hugh, if the Commanders pull that upset and we get a home title game, get on the bus. We're going to New Orleans.
Yeah, then, yeah.
I mean, we are headed to New Orleans in 2 weeks if the Commanders win that game. I think the Commanders story is certainly fun. I thought before the season they could make a big turnaround. I didn't think they'd be this good. They're not coming in here and winning an NFC championship game.
I can't see it.
Nope. So if you're right on this, then we are going to the Super Bowl, Hugh Douglas. That's the bottom line.
I'm excited about it. I'm excited about getting on that damn bus.
Well, so here's the question. There it is. Do we get the hand grenades the first day we get there, or is that like midweek? Oh, okay.
We turn up. As soon as we get to Louisiana, we turn up. We go. I'll keep that part. We're going to turn up.
Okay.
There we go.
Right away. If we get there in the morning.
We'll probably be already turnt.
I'm looking
on the bus. We'll probably be already turnt on the bus.
Yeah, that's probably going to happen. All right, let's go to who we got here. We got Lamar. What's up, Lamar?
What's up, Joe? How you guys making out?
What's going on?
Good, Lamar.
There?
What's up, buddy?
Oh, man, you guys, I mean, we can't stop beating this yelling horse, man, nonstop. I was thinking of something when you made a baseball reference, Joe. Mm-hmm. You got this guy, I'm not going to mention a producer in the afternoon that talks nothing but crazy Jalen talk. I haven't heard a Jalen standing ovation yet. But we gave a guy that's not as accomplished as Jalen, haven't done anything here other than come here, sign a $300 million contract, and stuck it up. We gave him a standing ovation.
Yeah, well, that was a mistake. We all realize now.
Jalen have got us. Well, okay, give me one mistaken day free of not bashing the quarterback, or give him a standing ovation.
So two things. Two things, Lamar. Jalen's a better player than that guy you're talking about, and he. I appreciate him more than that guy. Okay, at least he's good.
Well, you won't even say his name.
Trey Turner.
Well, again,
but Lamar, hold on. But he's the quarterback of the Eagles. How do we like? He's part of every conversation. Like
I understand.
What do you want us to like? Have a Jalen free week? He's every
Jalen free week. I understand it, but you know what? Hugh ain't got a ring. That's not a shot at you, Hugh. But if you had a ring, he wouldn't care less how it came. Running, skipping, passing, jumping, it does not matter. Jalen Hurts have proved in Philadelphia that he's able to handle.
Yeah, I wouldn't care.
Being
he
in
ain't
such
lying
a toxic,
about that, though. I wouldn't care.
Jalen has proven he can be in a toxic environment and not fold like Wentz and all these other people.
Well, okay, all right, but Lamar,
he don't fold.
Okay, so he doesn't fold. But Lamar, can we be fair and real? And I don't want to rip this guy. He's the best player to ever play the position in Philadelphia. If Donovan was better in the biggest moments, the guy sitting next to me would have a ring, Lamar. He would.
It's a whole lot of factors
that go into it.
No, hold on. But hold on. It's against the against Carolina, he was awful. Against the Rams, I was actually – Hugh always brings up his algorithm. For some reason, last night, my algorithm gave me highlights of the 2001 NFC Championship game. So I watched it over last night.
They got the ball back.
They gave the – Hugh and the defense gave the ball back to Donovan with 2:40 to go, down five. He threw a pick.
Okay, like, can I give you one now, Joe?
Yeah.
Now, can I give you one?
Yeah.
Now, hey, Hugh, if you'd have had Terrell Owens all five of them NFC Championships, how many Super Bowls you would have won?
At least one.
Okay, so we can all do that, Joe. This is we can all.
I know, but I get it. My point is the quarterback matters a lot. That's why we talk about him a lot. The game eventually, the game's going to be on his shoulders at some point. That's why he's the conversation.
And I understand that, Joe. But you know, I'll give you this before you cut me off. It's like again, I just gave Kyle an analogy.
People off, Joe?
No, that's you. He was in charge of the phone.
It's like this. It's like saying at the end of the day, listen. Eventually, it's going to burn you. Well, okay, you get married to a woman at 25 years old. Eventually, she might be 240 pounds, but I'm going to enjoy her right now while she's 130.
That ain't right. What that means?
She's beautiful inside, Lamar.
She's beautiful, yeah.
Hey, I'm going to enjoy you at 240. I'm going to enjoy her at 130. Enjoy the time you got now while we're winning. That's it.
I mean, I don't know if that analogy flies.
To
I mean,
yeah, way to recover, Lamar.
I don't know about that one, Lamar.
Way to recover.
Yeah, Lamar, I mean, how do you want to respond to that? Like, let's just...
Way to recover.
Yeah, Lamar lost me at that one. That one's not working.
That was crazy.
That was. All right, speaking of not working, apparently your tweet didn't fly last night with a certain someone here. So, Hugh, you said you were listening to the station last night.
I was listening to Ashlyn. Shout out to Ashlyn, man. I think that was – she does solo shows now, right?
Recently she started doing solo shows.
Yeah, so shout out because I was listening. You know, I had a chance to listen last night, so I was listening. And I was listening to some of the callers that called in.
And you said they're different.
I just said they're different. I didn't say – I just said the callers at night are different.
Well, as someone who did that shift for 5 years, I can attest the callers at night are certainly different. But I guess John Johnson took exception to the tweet. Can we hear this? Is this Kyle John Johnson last night on the overnight show taking exception to Hugh's tweet here?
Hey, Pat.
Hey, John.
How you doing,
man?
So who is your grievance with and why?
Hugh Douglas. I have a grievance with him.
Okay. What is your grievance with Hugh?
You tweeted just a few hours ago, and I quote, the callers that call the station at night are quote-unquote different.
Okay.
I don't like his tone, because I feel like the night crawlers, you know, shout out to Tom. You know, we have some cohesive moments. We have some crazy moments at night, but... You know, we're a pretty good group of callers, and I think his tone there implies that the day callers are better than the night callers.
Huh. So, Pat, call me tomorrow, Pat. I am familiar with the tweet of Hugh Douglas, where he tweeted out that the callers at night are different, the callers at WIP at night are different. See, I've known Hugh a long time, and Hugh for... The early part of his broadcasting career was a part of the WIP morning show. So he would, you know, get up, leave for work around 3:30, 4 a.m., and he would hear some of the callers to this radio station at this time of the morning. And when he came back here, he immediately went to the midday show. Even though they experienced some really oddball callers during that time slot, they don't have the hard, heavy hitters like we do in this time slot. I find the most rational, level-headed callers in all of WIP come during this time period because most are up for a very specific reason. Most work these hours or just getting up to work these hours, so they're in a routine. They're not moseying around the house, nothing to do, hey, I'll call you up, where you're not of the same mindset. You see things, you don't see things the same way. And I think Hugh, as a result, has gotten lost in all that. He sees the illogicals as logical, when in fact the more logical are at this time.
That was quite a spin.
Yeah, that was a hell of a spin. I mean, and John's right, because I used to work that shift, and it's different. But it just felt like last night, I guess it was just last night, but sometimes the callers are just, they're a little more fiery. They're a little more irrational, I will say that. They're a little bit more pointed in their criticisms and some of the things. I didn't mean that in a bad way, because listen, you have the right to think any way that you want to think. Just like I have the right to interpret your thought the way that I interpret it. And being different does not necessarily mean bad. It's just different. We're all different. But y'all call, the cast that call at night are different.
So here's my perspective as someone who's, I've literally done every shift you could do, whether it be fill-in or like full-time on the station, Hugh, including John's. I used to fill in and do the show John does now, but I did the night show, right? The one you were listening to last night, the one Ashlyn was hosting last night. I did that for a long time. You know why I think sometimes the different comes out? Because when you're at night, especially solo, you kind of let the caller go for a little longer.
Yeah, you let and you hear and you.
So when someone goes for longer, they really unload everything. They give you every thought they have, and sometimes you get some different takes.
And then you wonder, how did you get there? Like seriously, because I listened, and somebody told me last night you need to do you're off work. Find a hobby. No, it was just that I was riding home, and I was just listening, and I like to get different perspectives of how different people think. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you listen and you just kind of wonder, how did you get to where you got to? You know, because we all watch the same thing and we interpret it differently. But I'm curious to see, how did you get to where you got to about some of the takes that you have? And that's where the interesting part comes in. Because a lot of times that people, when they call at night, they think through some of the stuff that they're saying. But let's be honest, sometimes people, it's coming from a different place. And you hear that. Even though they try to disguise it and say it in different ways, you know where it's coming from. And so I just find it curious. They're interesting.
I just wonder if now a brewing rivalry between John Johnson and Hugh Douglas has begun.
No, because you know what? John is my movie guy. Matter of fact, John been acting kind of funny lately because he ain't, he ain't gave me none of the new movies that were coming out, because that was the big thing. And he been stingy with them Blue Chews. So, yeah.
Well, if you need Blue Chew, just ask the afternoon show.
Yeah, that you talk about a weird commercial.
It's a lot.
You know what that says to me? If
they
I'm
got
allowed
thick
to,
wood heart.
If I'm allowed to be, you know, free and just speak my mind. When I hear, every time I hear that commercial, it's almost like, you know, I ain't the only one that having issues with my thing not doing what it's supposed to do. All three of us kind of have it, you know, and they try to spin it in a way where, you know, they're doing it not for themselves, but for their loved ones.
There is something strange about
the three of them
having a Blue Chew popping party.
It ain't just me. It ain't me by myself that need the Blue Chew. Ike need one too. Spike needs a Blue Chew. And then, you know, Fritz, and what's the tagline? Boy, I tell you, or something like that. Like, it's just really, it's really weird.
Yeah, team reads for those.
I never
heard that before, but I'm.
And I told Jordan, since we're bringing some of the stuff that we talk about off the air to the show. And I told Joe, I was like, I'll rock with some Blue Chews, because every now and then, I want to swing from the chandelier. I want to be King Kong. I want to be and I want somebody to tap out. I want somebody to, like I'm saying, I ain't got no problem with that.
Was it fair to question? I mean, Fritz just had number two.
Second child.
So now he need a Blue Chew.
Well.
This, which is kind of
I think Kyle was saying he might not be the issue.
Yeah, but they're trying their damnedest to let it be known that they don't have an issue. I ain't got no problem with that. Every now and then, you know, you like I said, you want to be Godzilla.
How about that D, baby?
You want to bring that thigh out. Bring that heat.
It's amazing how far we will go on this radio station for our different agendas. We won't acknowledge the passing game, which threw for 100 yards on Sunday is an issue, but we are just free to say, you know what? Screw it. Give me a Blue Chew. Let's talk to.
Let's do this.
Let's talk to Marlon, who's up next. What's up, Marlon?
Hey, Joe and you. What's up, y'all?
Marlon, what's going on?
Hey, listen, Hugh with this car note. Listen, hey, Hugh, But you're two behind, so you're not caught up yet.
Excuse me, Marlon, how am I two behind? Explain this to me. This is intriguing because, to me. How am I two Cardinals behind?
Because when the guy paid the Cardinal last week, right? But he ain't come current yet. So he was already behind three, so he just gave us one.
What are you talking? Okay, Marlon, how is your math getting to this point? Help me out. How am I three Cardinals behind already? How am I three Cardinals behind?
If you were going to sit here and tell me that game last week with the way Jalen looked, and y'all got nerve to talk about the bus loader, that joint already repoed.
Okay, Marlon. Marlon, calm down. Tell me exactly what it is I said about Jalen's play that prompted you to call and say that I was three Cardinals behind. Go.
The problem with you saying that is because you saying, okay, we okay, because the defense going to hang in there. The defense ain't going to be able to hang in there playing. All Jordan Love had to do was take off. That's all he had to do. He would have did that 2-3 times. Y'all be sitting here looking at the heavens,
You know what, Marlon? Let me just say this, Marlon. Because yeah. The fact that I found out you're a Cowboy fan leads me, like, I'm going to give you.
No,
wait a minute. Marlon, I'll let you speak. Allow me to have the floor. Marlon, allow me to have the floor because you have not heard. Okay. I've been on this show we've been doing this show for 3 hours. You ain't heard nothing that I said because you have not quoted anything that came out of my mouth. I never once said Jalen played great. I mean, we have two young ladies sitting. Excuse me, Marlon, the floor is mine. I got two young ladies sitting in here right now that will attest to the fact that never came out of my mouth as they shake their head. No, it ain't never came out of his mouth. What I said was this when I made the analogy to the Cardinal. I said what Jalen did last week was good enough for us to win. Is that a fact? Because we did win. We did win, right? So that's a fact,
nothing,
right?
But go ahead.
He didn't win. Marlon, he didn't win last week.
Okay,
my bad, Marlon, because we're playing some matches now. Did the Eagles win last week?
Yeah, the Eagles won last
week. Okay, so Jalen was on the field, and he did enough to contribute to the Eagles' win, correct? It ain't that hard, Marlon. It's a yes or no question.
I just said he ain't do nothing.
No, it don't. And so I framed it in a way where you got to answer yes or no. Did Jalen Hurts contribute to the Eagles' win last week, yes or no?
Okay, yes, he did.
Okay, so that's why I said the card note has been paid. Therefore, that's where the analogy came from. The card note is paid.
But now
we got to do next week is figure out a way to get that other payment. That's it, right?
Yeah, get that other payment, right.
And let me just say, so you're not a Cowboys fan, right?
No, I'm 31 teams further.
You're 31 teams. For what does that mean?
Oh no, he's a Cowboys fan. Don't hide now.
That means anybody that played it, like right now, McVay coming in here.
Oh, because they're eliminated.
Enough,
yeah,
Marlon. I mean,
Marlon,
you talking logic with a Cowboys fan? You're going to win that debate.
That's
every time.
What I'm saying, Marlon. Instead of being in Eagles business right now, which we do appreciate the phone call, but I'm just saying right now because we got business to tend to. Instead of being in Eagles business. Go figure out who your head coach going to be. Worry about Cowboys business. Because right now, y'all are in disarray. I appreciate you calling, Martin. I love that you listen to the show. But I ain't got time to entertain conversations like this when you shouldn't have time to entertain conversations like this because you need to go find a head coach.
I've eaten a lot of raccoons.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so let us figure out these card notes. Well, y'all go figure out. Y'all need to go to the lot and figure out who's gonna drive the car y'all got.
Oh, the repo man.
Yeah, y'all
got
need.
The Cowboys.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Y'all need to go figure that out. So I appreciate the call, but still, let the Eagles handle Eagles business.
215-592-9494. For your phone calls coming up on the passing game, is it a big deal? I think it is. Hugh doesn't. We got Cowboys fans chiming in, which you know this is a wild conversation here. Plus, on the other side, the referee assignment for Sunday, Sean Smith. What does it mean? Are we saved or are we screwed? I got some data on this guy and his crew. We'll hit that next. Your phone calls. Midday Show, 94 WIP.
The action is heating up this playoff season at ESPN Bet Sportsbook. You can bet overs and unders and point spread or player props like passing or rushing yards. New ESPN Bet Sportsbook customers can get a $10 bet to get $100 in bonus bets and unlock 30 days of ESPN Plus. Download the app and sign up with promo code Radio100 to get started today. Odds and lines subject to change. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.